This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On May 13th, the Obama administration issued guidelines for public schools to allow transgender students to use the restroom corresponding to their gender identity. In President Obama's first public comments on the directive, he said that society has an obligation to protect the dignity and safety of vulnerable children. There's a lot of disagreement over issues of gender identity and over this directive, those who disagree with it for various reasons, including that it's federal overreach, and those who say it will help protect transgender students. We'll look at the legal issues surrounding the guidelines later in the show. But first, here to talk about the new federal guidelines for public schools and how they affect transgender individuals, along with personal experiences of transgender people at school and elsewhere, our director of Heartland Trans Wellness Group, registered nurse and trans man, Jonah Yokoyama, University of Cincinnati Racial Awareness Program Recruitment and Special Events Coordinator, transgender advocate, blogger, and trans woman, Christian Jackson, and lead trainer for Greater Cincinnati's Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Sean Jeffers. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jonah, Christian, and Sean, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Again, we're going to look at the legal arguments over this directive later in the show, but I want to start by getting each of your perspectives on these guidelines and what these guidelines mean to you. And then let's start with you, Jonah.
Well, I think President Obama hit the nail on the head talking about dignity. I know so many students who have had incredible injustices perpetrated against them by school administrations. Trans students who have had teachers call them out into the hall and had to remove assistive devices from their body right in the hallway. And I'm talking about things that help them affirm their gender identity.
Christian, your perspective.
I think it's a broader system, a much broader system, where I almost feel weird saying it, but where we have to attack racism and sexism and all these other huge systems that play into oppressing other people, which essentially oppresses trans people. So it's a big answer and not
So you see this as being more something much broader than just where you use the restroom.
Absolutely. If you take a look at just specifically this bathroom issue here, it affects all trans people, right? But the biggest victims of this restroom debacle are trans women. There's a commercial that I actually saw, and it said nothing about trans men. It said when people have these conversations about the restroom, it always focuses on a man in a dress, which again goes back to how we even see trans people as inauthentic. So just really getting down to the nitty gritty and attacking the core of these different systems that oppress people.
Sean?
Yeah, so for me, I think the policy, the most important part is that it affirms students' experiences and how they identify in school. And if a student can't even figure out where they want to go to the bathroom during the day, then there's little hope for them to be able to learn if they're so focused on meeting other needs. And I think the bigger part of these policies that are really helpful is that now school districts have a path towards implementation. I think beforehand they were oftentimes making it up as they were going along, and oftentimes that patchwork system left a lot of students out from full acceptance.
How do you see this affecting transgender students? I mean, where is this going to go for them?
Sure. I think the first thing is that I've been, I would say, encouraged over the past year by the number of schools who have reached out to GLSEN and other organizations and said, we want to do the right thing. We just need guidance on what that is. So there is starting, I think the building blocks are in place for greater acceptance. And I think once that happens, then there's going to be less students having to focus on, do people see me as how I identify at school? And then they can just get back to being a student and focus on the things you do in school as a student. So I think that's going to be the the essential point.
So I'm seeing the same thing as Sean. A lot of schools are reaching out and they're trying to do the right thing. And now with these guidelines, they have something to go on. And that has sadly been lacking. Some schools have been for years doing the right thing by their students. However, sometimes if other parents find out and they don't agree with how the school's handling things, they have caused fusses and they have changed, gotten the policies changed back to something that is not inclusive to those trans students.
Yeah, and kind of, as you were saying, kind of feeling your way along and making things up as you go along. This is all very new to most people, I think, and most just don't have the details and the experience to even know where to start with this.
Right. I think this goes back to a conversation we were having just a few minutes before you all joined us on air, but just really asking trans people, what do you need? Admitting that you don't know. It's okay not to know. We don't know everything about ourselves and our own bodies. Nobody knows everything about themselves, let alone anybody else. So just really admitting and being open to saying, I don't know. What can I do to help you? And then also being very clear, okay, this is what I can do. I can't do this, or I don't know how to do this, but I can point you in this direction or that direction, or get you connected with whoever.
Christian, how do you think this is going to impact transgender students?
Hopefully in a really positive way. It's a little scary because there's a lot happening at one time. Which is wonderful, but it also is a lot for people who don't understand or people who don't want to understand or be affirming to get used to, right? So it really, it's wonderful, but it puts students and trans people and marginalized groups in a position to where they can be attacked, to where in some cases they are more likely to be attacked. So it's wonderful, but it's also pretty fearful at the same time.
So this is a safety issue, I mean, as you see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think that there is any right or perfect way to go about implementing change. I'm very grateful to President Obama for trying to do so much before he leaves office, because it would be him. So I'm glad that he's at least putting these things into place and really trying to propel us forward. And it will be interesting to see what the future holds.
Jonah and Christian, can you share any of your experiences from when you were students, things that you encountered where the new rules would have applied and maybe helped in your situation?
Well, I can say I've had multiple issues in bathrooms, not just in school. I have been assaulted on more than one occasion, physically assaulted in bathrooms. I have been beaten. I have had ribs broken. I have been urinated on. And nothing like that should happen to someone who is just trying to go to the bathroom. When I was in college, I actually got assaulted in one of the bathrooms because the student knew I was trans and did not want me in there.
Christian, what about some of your experiences?
So this goes, so in middle school, I didn't know I was trans. I didn't learn that I was trans till a little bit later in life, but that's an entirely different story. But just being a queer person going into a restroom is always a little weird. An experience that happened to me as an adult, I was actually in a courthouse in Mason, and I was talking to one of the employees of that courthouse, and she said to me, by the way, the last time you were here, you went in the women's restroom and that caused this huge uproar. So unless you have, some kind of change down there, we need you to go to the men's restroom. And it's
That's
like,
an awkward conversation.
It is. And it's like, how do you know me? How do you know my body? How do you know anything about me? Ma'am, please have a seat. But it's a really extensive story, and I actually encourage everyone to check out the details of that story at my blog, thecisjungle.com. That's the CISjungle.com.
CISjungle.com.
Yes.
Okay. How did you come up with this?
So I actually sort of, there's this TV show I really love called it's not a TV show anymore.
And cis, by the way, refers to people who are not transgender, is that right?
Exactly. Okay. So people who identify with the sex they were assigned at birth, easy definition, people who aren't trans. There's this TV show a while back. It didn't last very long, called The Lipstick Jungle. And I've never told anybody this, that I sort of twisted this name. But I really liked that name, and I really liked this idea of trans people. I didn't like the idea of trans people living in a jungle, but I liked that play on words, because it is. It's a jungle for trans people to balance being trans and exploring yourself and navigating your family and friends and community. It's a jungle.
Shauna, what kind of challenges do transgender students face?
Sure. So I think to Christian's point that she was just speaking about, as somebody personally who identifies as cisgender, that I think there's a lack of knowledge or a lack of experience. So GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, did a survey, and they said only 8% of Americans said they personally know someone who happens to be transgender. So that's 92% that are going based on media reports or what they've read or seen, if they've even had other exposure to trans experiences. And I think that's a huge gap. And so I think to what Christian had asked for is, like, you know, to ask sometimes, what do you need? How can I be of service? How can I help? Because I think an important thing when we want to be allies, I think some people self-identify as an ally. And one of the things that I often say is, in situations where you want to be an ally, other people have to see you as such. You can't self-identify as an ally. You have to be seen by others in that role. And you do that by, I think, both, you know, doing learning research, but also walking the walk, you know, and kind of living out those values that people have said they need, and trying to advocate in spaces where you can on their behalf, but not advocate or talk over them in spaces where you're with them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of challenges do you think that students will run into in school, that they face in school?
Sure. So I think the biggest thing around the challenges students are facing would be, you know, that it's around locker rooms, it's around bathrooms, it's around just people taking them seriously. And so in the state of Ohio, still law says your birth name, the name on your birth certificate, must be in your federal school record, must be on your test booklets, things like that. So there are times where there are students who are very young in elementary school who, you know, might everyone knows them as their name, but someone might see their test booklet, someone might see their report card or some document that has their birth name. And I think there could be questions about, you know, their identity, or are they trying to sneak or put one past people? And so I think those are a lot of the things students have to think about beyond just their safety and physical spaces. Sometimes it's that emotional and I think safety as well.
We will continue our conversation about the new transgender directive for schools, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, here to talk about the new federal guidelines for public schools and how they affect transgender individuals. Our director of Heartland Trans Wellness Group, registered nurse and trans man, Jonah Yokoyama, University of Cincinnati Racial Awareness Program Recruitment and Special Events Coordinator, transgender advocate, blogger, and trans woman, Christian Jackson, and lead trainer for Greater Cincinnati's Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Sean Jeffers. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Sean, can you give us some background on the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network and the work that it does?
Sure. So GLSEN is the kind of short name for it. And so GLSEN was actually started as a teachers network. And so many people who have maybe seen the film Milk have seen how teachers who are gay and lesbian or trans were under attack and not always able to practice when they were out. And so that was in early 90s. And then in 1996, GLSEN Cincinnati, GLSEN Greater Cincinnati became a chapter. And so our work is really about making sure that every student and every school community can be respected and accepted regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression, or simply put, safe schools for all.
So were you working with school districts before these guidelines went into place?
Yes, we've been doing trainings for years with local schools. And I think a lot of times the trainings in the past have been more, I think, more reactive. Like, student comes out, they're like, we don't know what to do. We need someone to come in. We've actually had several school districts that have been proactive. They know that there happens to be a transgender student who is in the grade level below and is going to be transitioning schools up, and have had trainings for their staffs. And so we're starting to see some positive movement. And I think these, I think there wasn't a lot of case law. It's just the simple reality is that the law just hadn't caught up to the experience and the lives of people, especially trans individuals. And so I think these, now the guidelines that have been issued, really provide a basis for schools.
513-419-7100, and Alexander in Walnut Hills joins us. Hi, Alexander.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Go right ahead.
Thanks for having me. Christian, you're amazing. I love your blog. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, as a parent, as a queer parent, I wanted to know the conversations that I should be having with my child. He is 4, and what we know is that policy is only one arm of how we get society to move forward and protection for trans and queer individuals. And so what I wanted to know was, what are ways that we can use our youth to shape the culture of tomorrow?
Right. So I think it's important to have conversations with your children about gender and gender identity. I think that children are naturally curious, and I think that these conversations will totally just come up without us even sort of prompting. I think it's more on the parent to be open to having these conversations and to think about these conversations in advance and say, how can I teach my child that people are different? How can I teach my child that it's not okay to stare at this person because they're different? Why are we staring at this person? What makes this person different? And how is this person unique? And how are they wonderful? And so just really sort of reshaping this thought process that our society sort of puts on us, and really just educating ourselves as adults to be prepared to have these conversations with other adults. I think we don't have these conversations amongst ourselves, so I think having them with our children makes it so much more difficult and uncomfortable.
If the only thing that we do to help teach about racial diversity is to put up some posters in February, we're not doing a good job. And we need to weave it into everyday life so that it really becomes an impactful message. We need to do the same thing with gender identity and different kinds of diversity. Now, for gender identity and transgender people, there are some wonderful books that are great for really little kids. There are books like Tulip, The Birthday Wish Fairy, Backwards Day, and Red. And these books are starting to be carried in our school libraries and our public libraries. And they're a great resource for parents who are wanting to start teaching some of the ideas of gender identity.
I think the other important thing for parents to do is have open dialogue with their children. I think we have lost ability somewhat, and we assume with the internet that information is out there, that we don't always talk to children of all ages around some critical issues. And one of the things that we know is that over the summer, when kids are out of school, that we see a rise in the number of young people who are coming out either as gay or as transgender or just exploring. And so I think when school comes back in, it's tough to put them back in the box. And so I think as we see things with young people, having those questions, and I think if you happen to have children who aren't gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, talking to them about difference and understanding that there's a number of differences and a number of identities we have, and they're all valid and they're all great. And not, you know, and sometimes a phrase I use at summer camp with staff is weird, not wrong. And it's this idea of like, there's things that are weird, doesn't mean it's wrong. It's different for us, but that's okay for somebody else. And sometimes we have to understand that, so we're not putting our values and holding other people to our values.
Sean, do we have any do we have any idea how many or what percentage of students locally are transgender?
I wouldn't say we have a specific number. It's very tough to survey. What we know is that Cincinnati Children's Hospital has a transgender clinic. They are serving several hundred families, and those families range in age from 5 to 18. And those families that they're serving are then going into their schools and those schools are calling us. So we're getting more and more conversation from schools. And I know Jonah and Harland are also getting a lot of phone calls. The surveying just is not there because it's just tough to get responses. I think sometimes, especially when young people are there, and I think sometimes people are hesitant to reply to surveys for fear of being targeted.
I can also say that Heartland has several hundred clients that are under the age of 18. Yeah.
Now, we had a call from a 40-year-old trans woman. She's a parent and said that when laws are passed, that forces this onto people rather than changing attitudes and personal opinions, which makes it tougher on some people to change. So I wonder what your thoughts are on what she's saying here.
I want to say retweet to that, too. I think that is sort of what I was alluding to a little bit earlier. I think the laws changing are wonderful because, I mean, whether people get on board or not, we need some way of affirming these people. We need some way of justice for these people. But it's a really fine line to walk, too, because when you force these things onto people, as I said before, that just sort of makes them want to rebel even more.
Makes
especially
them resistant.
Exactly,
yeah.
Especially so much at one time. So it's wonderful, but equally daunting at the same time. I don't even know if daunting is the right word, but it's a lot. It's a lot for me.
It's
so I can imagine that it's a lot for somebody else.
I would agree. Trying to force someone into a different mindset just doesn't really work. I find that I change the minds, people's minds the most when it becomes human to them, mm-hmm. when a face is put onto the issue.
Cool. I think in my GLSEN is a volunteer role for me. In my professional world, I do a lot of diversity and cultural competence training with nonprofits and schools. And I think so many people hear that and cringe because what they feel is that there's going to be somebody coming in and doing a check the box, like, you know, this is how you are nice to gay people or trans people or black people or whoever from 9 to 5. But once you go out in the parking lot, believe whatever you want. And I think that's so often what trainings in the past have told people as a fear. And I think more so our goal is to never tell people what to think. It is to challenge people to think. And are we thinking about things that are normal, but realizing these are the normal for other people who live? And are we giving time to think about where other people are coming from? And that's how I think we've lost that somewhat in our country and lost the ability to dialogue. So I think even in this case, it wasn't a law. These are guidelines, I think, for schools that we want to just stress, you know, that these guidelines give schools a path and a clear understanding about how they can support their students.
What about the idea of separate restrooms, which some have put forward? Why wouldn't that work as a solution?
I think for a few reasons. One, it takes us back to some segregation laws and experiences we've had in our country that I personally do not want to relive. But two, that could require schools to invest major amount of money in making bathrooms single stall. And there's concerns from schools if you make bathrooms single stall that, you know, all the bathrooms become single stall that students could go in there to smoke. And so there becomes another issue that happens. So I think at the end of the day, you know, asking people where they're comfortable and, you know, and trying to accommodate that seems to me the best solution.
And one thing that isn't really being discussed, but I really think should be, is the idea of unisex bathrooms. So all genders using the same bathroom. With that, you get higher traffic. Higher traffic, more people, means more safety. Those are used in Europe to really good effect.
513-419-7100, and let's talk with Louise in Anderson Township. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you? I was intrigued to hear the conversation. As I turned on the radio, having just left my husband at the airport, he's a physician in Cincinnati. He's an endocrinologist and serves the transgender community. And he is on his way to the International WPATH Conference in Amsterdam this coming for the rest of the week. That's the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. And so as I kissed him goodbye and turned on the radio, this conversation is going on. I'm proud of him that he's going and that he serves the community, and I just wanted to share that the global community is gathering this week in Europe to discuss the best medical care for transgender people and also the best social needs meeting that can be done. So it's just a wonderful conference that we should be able to follow and hear what's coming out of.
Louise, thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Let's talk with Troy in Covington. Hi, Troy.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Hi. I just I wanted to make a comment about the laws on the bathroom laws and locker room laws. Is that I really firmly support equality for transgender people, and going to the bathroom, and you know, the bathroom of their choice, doesn't seem like a big deal because it's all private stalls and stuff anyway. But I wonder if they can appreciate, the people on the panel, the level of how uncomfortable it can make women or men feel to have transgender folks come into the locker room, which is a more personal and private space where people are in various stages of undress. And I'm sure, I'd imagine it's probably not even comfortable for a trans person in that exactly. kind of environment. But when it comes to the locker room, I'd just like to hear their thoughts and if they can understand other people's perspectives.
Well, also, as I also mentioned this at the top of the show, so it goes back to society not really affirming people's identities, right? So if somebody says, I am a woman, I am a trans woman, and you believe me and you support me and you affirm me in that, then why are you uncomfortable if you are also a woman in the restroom or in a locker room changing? Our bodies are all in various stages of transition, of looks, whatever. I don't know any two women who have the same body, just like no two trans people have the same body or think the same. So our bodies are already varying. So I don't think that that should be a focus or be the issue. But I think we really need to think about what it means to be trans. Not, oh, I accept you as a trans person, but these are my parameters. No, I accept you as a trans person. I believe your identity. I affirm your identity. And if you can't say that, oh, me sharing this space with a trans person, me doing this with a trans person is fine, then we have to reflect internally and think about, okay, how do I arrive at this point? As a trans person, I'm not going to lie. I have some internalized transphobia. We all do because we were socialized to be that way. But we have to actively fight every day against that.
One in about 400 people have what is known as a disorder of sexual differentiation. And this means there are a variety of different disorders, but someone who has XY chromosomes may have a vagina. Someone who has XX chromosomes may have a penis. And so these people, they're just going about their daily lives. And some people will assume that they are trans, or you may have someone who doesn't look classically feminine, but is a cisgender female. These people are often being attacked now with the spotlight that is on locker rooms and bathrooms, and they're not trans at all. So a lot of people are making assumptions about a person's gender identity and whether or not they are trans, when that just simply isn't the case. So as far as discomfort goes, I think we need to go back to that idea of diversity and accepting diversity and not making assumptions about a person.
Sean, let you weigh in on this, and then we'll move on to the next segment.
Sure. I think the important thing when we start to think about bathroom bills is that in traditionally gendered bathrooms, the women's line tends to be longer than the men's line. So many of us have women in our lives who have chosen at a bathroom or at a concert, a stadium or something, to go to the men's room. And we've never batted an eye, but once we started becoming news about trans people, there was a lot more concern because we have a lot less familiarity with trans people and their experiences. And so I think that's just something we have to, when we get uncomfortable around things, to stop and ask ourselves, why did that make me uncomfortable? And not to react in negative or hurtful ways towards others, but just sometimes to experience discomfort and question why we're feeling that.
Okay, and one last phone call here. Dan in College Hill. Hi, Dan.
Hi, this is Dan. I've known Christian for many years. Christian attends our church, and I've always been impressed with her, how she carries off just with grace and dignity, and just has taught me as well as our congregation some of the challenges and also the joys of being a trans woman. So just a thanks to Christian for her witness and teaching us in a very unassuming and quiet way, but a very proud way as well.
Dan, thank you for
the
phone call.
That's more of a comment.
Thank you.
And Jonah, Christian,
and
Sean.
Hi, Christian.
Thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you for
having us. Thank you very much.
Director of Heartland Trans Wellness Group, registered nurse and trans man, Jonah Yokoyama, University of Cincinnati Racial Awareness Program Recruitment and Special Events Coordinator, transgender advocate blogger, and trans woman, Christian Jackson, and lead trainer for Greater Cincinnati's Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, Sean Jeffers. Coming up, a look at the legal arguments surrounding the new transgender guidelines. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.